Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
The United States of America achieved what no former civilization deemed imaginable. They made mankind an interplanetary species. In 2046, astronaut Dan from Texas set foot on Martian soil. For the first few years, it was just this one settlement exploring its direct environment and doing scientific research. This all changed when whole lakes of water were discovered underground in caves, which boosted the agrarian sector on Mars and oxygen supply. Soon, more Americans came to Mars, and other states like China, Russia, India, and the European Union saw Mars as a safe place to invest. With this guarantee, they joined the endeavor. With this increase in finances, labor, materials, and in ideas, consisting of nearly half the world working intensively together, the settlements as we know now came into being. But it all started with a new old American dream. This is where you come in. A great deal has changed in 2 centuries, but Mars is still my world in the park, mister. You might have seen the stunning pictures of the Great Reef, but Mars is nowhere without collective agreements and interpersonal trust. So in roughly half an hour, we will tell you all you need to know about the social aspect of your Mars adventure. We hope that with this in mind, you promise to keep the American dream alive and even out there protect mankind of tyranny and unkindness. First, I'm going to talk to Dr. Sanders, who is a geologist. After that, I will talk to a mechanic and a healthcare worker. But first, Dr. Sanders, why is the city located at this specific location?
Our city consists of 2 parts, underground and the cliffside in a ravine. Concerning the things from outside, like radiation, dust storms and earthquakes, underground areas would be the best shelter for human beings. However, it is a pity that we are unable to view the landscape in nature as we live underground. Therefore, we have also made it possible to construct buildings with multiple functions at the cliffside in a ravine, including dwellings, office buildings, and buildings for entertainment.
Okay, and I noticed that many buildings are not just for living, but other functions are included as well. What's the reason for that?
Well, when there are multiple functions in a building, there are people on location most of the time. This increases security, because there will not be moments when you are alone in the location.
And how is the energy consumption on Mars?
For now, the most predominant form of energy is nuclear. As the nuclear reactor, or to say the facility itself, has been manufactured and assembled on Earth, and for sure, it has performed well during the test for safety. The concerns of putting much time and effort into constructing and testing on Mars will not bother us anymore. More encouraging is that it does have the capacity to provide enough electrical power to fulfill our daily consumption. Though it seems to have so many benefits, we are still on our way towards energy transitions in the future, as the treatment of radioactive waste and the uncertainties in safety are still severe issues, and the population size is rapidly growing. We are expecting that the share of thermal energy accompanied with many other forms of energy in the energy sector will increase in the long run.
Okay, thank you for your time. Now we will talk to Aaron Reisenberg, who is a mechanic on Mars. Aaron, can you first introduce yourself?
My name is Aaron Reisenberg. I'm 43 years old and I was born in the United States of America. On Earth, I used to be a professor of mobility, but here, I am the president of the Transportation Commission in New LA, and in part-time, I like to partake in society with my previous profession as a mechanic for the public transport and mining machines. When I have some extra time, I like to help out my old team with the repair of any vehicles like public rovers or mining machines.
Well, it might be a long time ago, but what was your first thought when you arrived here?
What did I get myself into? You have to know, the first few days when you are in space, it's all exciting and adventurous. The big blue ball is fading away and you have this sense to be one small part in a very big universe. You feel like a hero. I give you a week on the spacecraft before the boredom kicks in. And the worst part is, your friends still send you messages from Ibiza and Miami. 8 months later, you arrive here and you see little infrastructure, a small skyline, and no possibility to go outside. Sure, I watched all the seasons of Keeping Up with the Martians, and even tried to zoom a few times, which did not work.
So, even though the beginning of your journey was rather rough, what do you like about living here?
After the initial shock, you really get to see why you signed up. The major reason I left Earth is that things just got stuck. All land was discovered, we were stuck in our ways, and we just needed a major investment to solve our problems. Since I am living on Mars, I finally get how life is supposed to be. I feel so interconnected with my community. I work with people that used to be teachers, botanists, farmers, engineers. Here we are all who we choose to be. There is such a diversity, and it's amazing working with such different people and having such close relationships with them. It made me realize who I am again. I have refound purpose. Did you know that after I got here, I got a home immediately? I was assigned a pod in a neighborhood with all the services I could imagine. Hologram projections for spatial imaginations, I got it. I received food every morning, afternoon, and evening via delivery, and I got 1 year to adjust to the rhythm of the place. On orientation, I got the job to fulfill, a job suited to my job on Earth, or a totally new one. I also got coupled to a social worker, my so-called buddy Romeo. We still frequently call, and he informs me of social activities in my block. In short, I think it would be the small-scale way of living.
So far your personal life. How do you hope to develop your professional career?
I hope to contribute to the mobility of NLA in general, whether it is as a professor of urban mobility or as a mechanic. It's crucial for the settlement that the interconnectedness between its areas is kept when the city grows. Maybe even thinking far into the future, we will be connected to other large settlements. This further integration of Martian settlements will require people to be able to move within and between cities, and this will bring new challenges and opportunities that need to be solved. Right now, I just don't see that happening anytime soon. We're doing quite well for ourselves, and we're not reliant on Earth supplies anymore. We have a thriving mining and fabrication industries, agricultural sectors, and we can even trade with our sister states on Earth. I gave information on my specific skill sets when I arrived here and got this job. I trust that when the city is expanded, the citizens will be consulted, and that's when I will offer my help.
Nice. Who makes the decisions on potential mobility plans within the city?
That would be the mobility coordinator, after a majority vote of the civil gathering. One thing you need to understand about Mars is that it started with a small population of only a few dozen people. For the first few years, those people did not have the shared public domains we have now and could only meet each other if they moved from pod 1 to pod 2. This took time and was not without risk. The caves could become unstable in case of earthquakes and sandstorms. People were not prepared to die for small questions and just called each other with the same electronic communications as they use on Earth. As the population grew to over 20,000 people in less than 50 years, online communication kept an important function. We used it to monitor our progress, keep contact with Earth and other cities, and we could also use it to vote. And in this way, civil participation is way more democratic than it is on Earth, and in turn, improved democracy on Earth as well. Now, when we need to give our input, we just view a live stream of a few experts discussing the matter, and then get a week to cast our vote. Voting here is a big deal, because the decisions made actually really stem from every single citizen. Everyone realizes how important and crucial their voice, opinion and vote is. So, we really see almost a 100% turnout each time an important decision has to be made, way different from back on Earth. Small plans can be handled by the personnel handling the issue of the coordinator. If there are any complaints, we can engage in dialogue, and if not, we issue a civil gathering. This would be no different from mobility plans on a large scale. The coordinator would have to discuss with these experts within our settlements and with all the other coordinators. But in the end, the choice is for all of us to make. And so far, we deem expansion of our public transport systems undesirable. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's great to see that we can make such important and large-scale decisions for ourselves. At the beginning, people on Mars were quite reliant on Earth. There were many commands coming from them, and we'd always ask them for their advice and suggestions. But the more established and developed we've become, the less dependent we are of them. Our end goal is to truly become an autonomous area. This was the goal from the start, of course. And of course Earth will be our most important ally. It will always be our sister state. But we've really put in a whole new world up here, which I think is amazing.
Thank you for explaining. One last question. How do you see the future of NLA?
Sunny, I hope we have the opportunity to move out of the caves up to the surface. With new technological improvements in transparent materials, we would be able to enjoy the sunlight while also being protected from radiation. This would bring huge logistical issues for the mobility staff, of course, and I hope I can still contribute to such a mass project in my lifetime. I'm optimistic about the future of NLA. There is so much to be learned, explored, made better, and as long as NLA keeps on living on a small scale, I think we will be bound to attract people from Earth and grow up to a million people in the next 50 years.
Well, thank you for explaining all of this to us. Now I want to talk to Cody Collins, who is a healthcare worker on Mars. So Cody, why did you come to Mars?
Hello. My family came to New Los Angeles 2 generations ago, when my grandfather joined the USA Martian Settlement Scheme. He was a renowned engineer back on Earth and volunteered to help facilitate the construction and growth of the development at the time small USA base on Mars, which would later become the New Los Angeles that we know today. He always told me as a child that it was the best decision he ever made, leaving Earth behind. And only on very rare occasions he missed his old life due to there being no hamburgers on Mars. Apparently this was a form of food made from an animal which the people on Earth bred for the purpose of feeding themselves. Well, he adapted quite quickly to life in New Los Angeles as being a people person. He found his place and set down roots within a closely knit community, and here I am today.
Good to hear that he adapted so quickly. Another thing I would like to ask is how a day in the life of a Martian looks like.
Well, after your quarantine period and medical examination, you will be introduced to specific working conditions of the job you were sent to Mars for, given that you do not carry an Earth virus. For worker immigrants like engineers in agriculture or energy, medical workers, teachers and transport workers, you have an introduction period of a month to get used to Martian life. During this period, you get more free time to explore all the facilities of the city, get acclimated to the drastically different physical conditions on Mars, and, not least important, get integrated to the New Los Angeles community. After that introduction period, you will be able to enjoy Martian life to the fullest. A working day is significantly different to that on Earth, though. First of all, your workday will consist of less working hours and be more flexibly planned. This way you will have a nice life-work balance. There is more room for personal development. A New Los Angeles citizen will not go home exhausted and have just enough time to go rest and back to work the next day. But we are also able to contribute to the society here in a more personal way. There are, for example, facilities for citizens to exercise, culture like art, music and theater, meditation facilities, etc. Personally, I am the instructor for our weekly stargazing sessions at the Nova Dome. Come join for one of our free days. Here in New Los Angeles, we also do not have weekends like on Earth. We can choose the days that we will not work ourselves. Within this choice, there are some restrictions though for parents, seen as schools do have that coordinated weekend. Secondly, most of the hard labor will be automated or done by robots, and jobs in places like food production and the energy sector will be more managerial. But within this function, you will be also have the ability to fix software as well as hardware issues. Of course, you have had your theoretical education back on Earth, but in your first year here, you will still be assigned a mentor to guide you and give you hands-on education.
And what does your personal day look like?
It's great that you ask. Today, I started off in the morning bringing my and my neighbor's kids to school on my way to work in the communal garden. This garden is not only for food production, but also for mental health purposes, for us to stay a bit connected to Earth-like nature. This is my time for personal development, and personally, I like to take this time before work rather than after, and luckily was able to coordinate this with my colleagues. After working in the communal garden, I will work at the hospital. My first task is always to check if our monitoring system is having any technical problems and fix them if any come along. But today everything was fine. After that, I will check if the system is noticing any inconsistencies in the health of any of our workers. And then my real day begins. This mainly consists of talking to the patients of special interest, which the computer system indicated, and other people who I might have not checked up in on a while, and just have a talk, see what they're doing during their day job. At the end of my shift, I usually travel together with the last patients I visited to the dinner hall. As we are such a tight community, not much division between professional and personal relationships is necessary. After dinner, I will pick up my kids who were having dinner with their whole classroom, and then we will go home together.
So, how does the Martian healthcare system differ from the healthcare system on Earth?
This is quite different from a hospital on Earth. It's more focused on preventative healthcare. This means that we try to cure patients before they get sick or before the disease will be intense. This starts immediately when a new person arrives on Mars. Like I mentioned, before patients enter New Los Angeles, they are put in quarantine. This is done thoroughly to investigate them to prevent diseases from being passed on. Potential viruses or bacteria will have a detrimental consequence on such a densely populated city. Next to that, as a doctor, it is quite different from the healthcare system on Earth. I'm not sitting in a med bay all day, waiting for patients with health defects to come to me. Rather, I'm staying in contact with them in their working days. This allows me to have better view of how community members are doing mentally as well. For more physical health problems, the healthcare system, Curus Omnibus, healthcare for all in Latin, does most of the work for me in monitoring their health. In order to do this, we utilize e-health to its fullest potential. An example for this is that smartwatches now are able to surveil people's heart rhythms to help diagnose anomalies in an early stage. This makes curing patients more successful. Next to that, the smartwatch can also measure if people are exercising enough and measure their blood sugar level to check if they eat well. This allows me to walk around the complexes and working environment of people to see more how and what they are doing. I think that well-being is a big part of our healthcare system. Finally, one of the more exciting aspects of my job is that I play a role in exploration missions. Where a group is sent out to discover new parts of the planet, it is my duty to make sure they are taken care of when they return, and also to stand by in case of any emergency. This keeps my work as a healthcare worker diverse, and you cannot know in what kind of state they will return, or at all. So all in all, it is amazing to be part of a Martian healthcare system. To be able to help all citizens of our city stay healthy is a really rewarding job in my opinion.
And how do your children experience the education system on Mars?
Well, I'm really happy with the schooling system. It provides an open framework to give my children enough freedom to excel in their strengths while not being held back by the weaker points, of which they do not have any. Schooling is split up into pods of 6 age groups with children up to about 3 years between them. So I believe it's 4 to 6 and 19 to 20 for example. This unrestricted nature has so far really supported and encouraged my kids in their learning. As for example, my youngest of 10 really excels in their mathematics studies and is therefore offered opportunities to work alongside other kids within her pod. Meanwhile, my 15-year-old son is in the process of choosing which path he wants to study and specialize in the last two paths of school. He has attended all the workshop, community work and field trips given throughout the year. It's a great array of disciplines, from mechanical engineering to microbiologist or the shadowing an expert experience that inspired me when I was his age. Medicine and physical well-being, that was my thing. These educational experience of engaging with experts and supporting the community very successfully allows the children to develop their skills and passions for certain areas, which they can then follow through and specialize as a career. And therefore they get also to experience how it is in our real New Los Angeles society already. My son has chosen to dedicate his studies to his interest in water management after a field trip to the wastewater cleaning facility really made an impression on him. He really sees the value of this limited resource. I find that the education system is very good at preparing my children for their later lives by emphasizing the important values of appreciating your water, your food, your energy supplies in an engaging manner. However, the atmosphere is still very light and pays special attention to social cohesion through creative projects done by the children. Last year, my son's class was challenged to design their own functioning music box of recycled materials donated by their neighbors, while my daughter's class had a sculpture competition from which the winning design would be recreated and showcased in school cafeteria, where the children can eat the lunches made by the current home ec classes. Always very creative and quite tasteful experience in my opinion. Almost every day I come home to smiling faces jumping to tell me the latest of what happened at school. So I do believe that my children are engaged and happy about their school.
Something that NLA takes pride with is the fact that there is a great social cohesion. What are your responsibilities within the community?
This is definitely true. I think that especially as a healthcare worker, I play an interesting role in the social cohesion within New Los Angeles. Social isolation is detrimental to someone's health, both physically and mentally. This is thus directly linked to my profession. That is why I think it's of great importance that we as Martians do our best to foster the building of a community. Looking at my children and the people around me, I think this is an aspect we really have succeeded in. I have a few responsibilities within this community. First of all, I'm partially responsible for maintaining the well-being of my patients, although I rather name them friends. Like I mentioned, I have time to visit these friends during their regular day-to-day life to see how they are doing. I've received feedback from Curious Omnibus, for instance, about the lack of exercise. I can discuss this with them and together create a solution. Sometimes we can even exercise together. To be honest, I most of the time recommend them to participate in stargazing sessions, but it does really help. Being this close with patients creates a genuine bond between me and them. I think this really helps discussing personal issues as well. The feedback I'm getting from them also acknowledges this, and this job is therefore really rewarding. Secondly, as I mentioned, I'm responsible for connecting people to Earth within the garden and to the stars via yoga. So come along.
That all sounds lovely, but is there something you would like to change in the city?
No, of course not. This is a phenomenal place to live. Working in the social services sector myself, I can safely say that a lot of attention has been paid to the physical as well as mental well-being. There's enough leisure time for the personal development and our careers based on our passions. Of course, there's a strain of recycled oxygen and lack of natural light, but I suppose it is a little to ask for them to improve that. If I had to suggest something, however, I would suggest increasing the number of recreational facilities, such as locations to exercise or interact with your community members on a deeper level, in order to prevent social isolation and the health detriments attached to this. But naturally, those are just the words of a doctor being a perfectionist on life. Life on Mars is already very jolly.
Okay, thank you. With those last words, I would like to end this podcast. I thank all of the experts for coming, and of course I thank you for listening. Have a nice day. Thank you.